dedicating some more finance, not asking any offerings for this, but to upgrade our cameras. We're ending up now with, Scott will probably explain this better than he's a techie. Scott's a real techie. I make believe, but he's a real techie. Oh yeah. But we're putting about $2,000 into more cameras and an upgraded computer with a graphics card and everything. So I happen to be looking at a midweek live stream. I saw myself way over on the western edge, barely in the picture, and then I disappeared because I move around. I'm thinking, you know what? We need some more cameras. That's crazy. Just to hear somebody's voice. You know, although with me, that's kind of cool. Because if I did what my flesh would like, I would never be up in front of you. But it's an honor to be a shepherd in Israel I don't ever want to be the topic or the, I want him to get, matter of fact, let's do that right now. Let's give him praise and worship because he's the one that's worthy of it. Lord, we lift you up and we thank you, God, for your help, Lord, and your goodness, your blessing, God. Touch us and give us understanding in your ways and in your heart, your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, it shall be so. In Jesus' name. Sister Michelle, we would love to pray over you. Would you allow us to do that? Give me some sisters that would help us in praying over Sister Michelle. This has been a very challenging time for her. She's, by the way, thank you, Kaylee, and all the rest of you young people that's inspired me down here on Sunday. Thank you, thank you. And we got some taking notes tonight and asking for notebooks. If you need a notebook and you don't have one to take notes, let me know. I've got some more in my office, and I've got Bible studies in there. We've got a little bit of everything in there. But we're praying for Sister Michelle. Sister Madison, I want you to lead us in this prayer. And by the way, Dustin got the Holy Ghost on Sunday. Oh, that's exciting. And by the way, also, it's so good to... I think his name is Mike Jones. It's been so long since I've seen him. I have so missed Brother Mike, and it's so good to see him back. And to have Chris and Jennifer with us, oh my lands. Okay, Sister Madison, I want you to lead this. This is Sister Michelle Green, she's just a sweetheart. So many wonderful things we could say, but Lord, touch her right. Would you lift your hands with us? In Jesus' name, praise God, hallelujah. Lord God, quicken healing processes. Quicken healing processes in Jesus' name. God, yes, you are the Lord that healeth us. Exodus 15:26. You are the Lord that healeth us. And the Holy Ghost, we pray, Lord. Bless her. Yes, Lord. Infuse her with your strength, your life, your power. Woo! Praise my God. Touch her now, we pray. It is so, Lord. It is hallelujah. The presence of God's on you, Michelle. Just let him minister to you. Anybody else need prayer for healing of any kind? Anybody else need prayer? Praise God. Come on, Brother Joe. Come on, Tim, come up with him. Amen. Come on, Noah, come up with him. Would you help me pray for Brother Joe? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. God, touch Brother Joe right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. We're just taking a few moments. Holy Ghost is stirred. There's a stirring of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and his power. Woo, his power. He is the great physician. He is the healer. He's the great physician. Touched by the Job. Lord, let him feel the power of God go through him right now. Let the power of God flow through him, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord God, let him feel the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Woo, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Anybody else need a touch from God tonight? Hallelujah. Cordell, good to see you. The Holy Ghost touched you on Sunday, didn't he? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Touch Sister Gina, Lord, right now. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Sister Alicia, join me here. Pamela, Sister Pam, help me pray. Help me pray for Gina, would you? You precious ladies. Praise God. It's kind of good for us to be pulled into ministry. Here we go. The believers. I rebuke this infection. I rebuke this infection in Jesus' name. Heal it up, Lord. Heal it up. In the name of Jesus, manifestation. Woo, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Power of God. Power of God. In the Holy Ghost, Lord. Touch her ankles. Touch her, Jesus. She loves you. She's a soul winner. She's a teacher, Lord. God bless her. God bless her in the Holy Ghost. God bless her in the Holy Ghost, we pray. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it. Taking our time. Take your time, Michelle. Take your time. You've got a right. You've got a right to be healed. Oh, you've got a right to be healed. Woo, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5 repeated in 1 Peter 2:21. With his stripes ye were, puts it in the past tense. Ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:21. I was, I am. We are healed tonight because of his blood, because of his goodness, because of his grace. Woo, thank you, Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, yes. Isaiah 40:31. I believe that we wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, God. Hallelujah. Bless her, Jesus. Let supernatural faith work in Gina, I pray. Let the faith of God work in her, I pray. Touch her kids. Touch her grandkids. Use her, Lord. Let her be a prophetic mouth, Lord, a prophetic voice. Praise God. Give her boldness in the Holy Ghost. Give her boldness in the Holy Ghost. Give her boldness. Woo, give her boldness in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord, it's all about you, God. Give her boldness in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. Taking our time. Taking our time. Hallelujah. A lot of goodness going on up here. Is it okay if God breaks in? Does he have your permission? He doesn't need your permission, but it's kind of nice to step back and say, God, do your thing. God, do your thing. Michelle, you are very, very precious to the Lord and his hand's on you. Would you raise? I want you to say this with me because it's one of the ways we get him to manifest his power. Lord, your hand is on me. I declare it. Lord, your hand is on me. Dustin, would you do that with? See, there's a Holy Ghost-filled man right there by you. Lord, your hand is on us. Woo, Brother Rick, Sister Carol, would you raise your hands and declare that too? The hand of God is on you and it's on them. I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that. Woo, praise God. Hand of God's on me. Hand of God is on them. The mercies of God. The mercies of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's so real. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Almost feel like we stepped in on one of them beneficial landmines, you know, the kind that don't blow your legs up, but they blow your heart up and expand it and make it bigger. Praise God. Come on in, Brother Sandy. We've been having a move of the Holy Ghost. You might as well jump in. The water's warm. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, Josh. Touch Brother Frank, I pray. Touch his daddy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch Brother Frank, God, and renew Brother Josh's energies and Tiffany's energies, Lord, pouring out themselves, Lord, for Brother Frank, his dad. Lord, touch Frank. Put an angel by him. I loose angels in his room, Lord God. Comfort him. Strengthen him. Lift him up, I pray. Lord God, touch Brother Frank, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Josh, I feel like the Lord wants us to believe God for you. You're that strength that you're... I'll tell you what, if I had a son that went to battle for me like you, you go to battle for your daddy. You've been going to war for him. And that takes a toll. And so God wants to replenish our life force. He wants to replenish our life. May he do that in Jesus' name. Thank you for being that kind of son. Amen. Praise God. We didn't anticipate that. It's all right, isn't it? It's called glory of God. I've got some humor. I'm not sure we need it right now. There's so much of the sacred. But it is Wednesday night. Could somebody, I'm standing here because of our new camera arrangement. It'll be just probably for this Wednesday. But I wonder if I have any bold individuals that would sit down here and just sit and cheer the pastor on for a few minutes. I got to hustle my rustle because we do the short format on, oh my lands. Woo, the night's half over. All right. Okay, here's some humor. Anybody like humor? You got to have a little because you're going back to work. Many of you are going back to work. And you have lots of humor and funny stuff. So here we go. I'm coming back to bulletins, church bulletins. But also, some of this sometimes happens in announcements. So they're drawing from those two things. Church bulletins and announcements made in churches. I just love this category. So here's one of them. True stories. True. The church will host an evening of fine dining, comma, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. I think the word is hospitality. Okay, just a thought. Okay, here's another one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Have mercy. I love these are genuine. This is not made up. This is stuff that really did appear. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. I want to say, could you have put something in between those two? We will be laughing back at the house when she gets tickled. Pray for me. It's going to be a long night. Okay, God is good. Okay, last but not least. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. Nice. They're talking about the robes. Okay. Okay. Here we go. I don't know if you're a note taker. You know that Pastor is an inveterate note taker. That means I'm a consecrated note taker. So we're in a series, and we're talking about manifestation blockers. We shared some scriptures, a number of scriptures where the word manifest he manifested himself, he manifested his glory. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:16. A number of places where the word manifest or manifested or manifestation occurs. So from your notes, we have a little statement we'll put up after we answer this. What is our first manifestation blocker? We spent the first Wednesday talking about how God loves to manifest himself. He did that tonight. Here we are. Service is half over. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord began to manifest himself. Okay, so what's the first manifestation blocker that we named? Pardon? Very good, Jess. Actually, it's not the official answer. But technically, that is the first one we mentioned. We just didn't call it number one. So that is fabulous. Because we mentioned that in the first lesson, didn't we, at the end? The blind man, John chapter 9. He was obedient. And he takes the soil, the mud, and anoints his eyes. I can think of a lot better things to be anointed with than mud. And he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, he's already blind. So what is he now? Like, is that what you call doubling down on blindness? To put mud in somebody's eyes? He could have been offended. Oh, the blessing of the unoffended. We have such a fragile culture. We are so easily ticked off. Makes me want to tell you a story, but I won't tell it to you right now. We had that experience in a Walmart parking lot. Somebody just, in a moment of having to manifest their rage by going ahead of other people. And don't challenge anybody like that, because they're going to teach you sign language. There are signs. Okay? So, anyway. So, actually, the first one, thank you. Just that's actually better than the answer, see, because it was mentioned in the first lesson. So, then we could say, what would be manifestation blocker number two? Over here, Sister Amber. Unjudged sin. Okay, do you remember the verse we took that from? Excellent. Okay, and that verse says, he that committeth sin, we don't need to put this one up, but we had it up on the screen last week. He that committeth sin, okay, it's not saying, oh, if you stub your toe or you make a mistake. When it says he that committeth, we know in the King James, that F-E-T-H at the end means it's an ongoing, so it literally means he that practices sin. See, that's what we can't do when we get Jesus in our heart. We can flub up. We can make all kinds of mistakes. But to go on and practice it, that's something else. We can't do that and have his peace in our hearts. So he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And then it says in part 2 of 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I've never seen this in my short life. That comment ought to put you on the floor laughing, right? Your short life. Me and Methuselah have breakfast every once in a while, right? So in my short life, I've never noticed this, that he put the first part there to talk to us about the second part. And what I got out of that was, if you practice sin, you're going to have trouble having God manifest himself, because you will grieve him right out of your life. And it is possible to do that. And this is what one of the things I was saying is, don't let things build up. Deal with them quickly, because food, here's a proverb, food sticks easier to a pan that's been burned before. Have you ever noticed that, any of you cooks and chefs out there? That food sticks easier to a pan that's been burned before. So get it under the blood. Oh, praise God. Deal with yourself. I don't know about you, but I have to deal with myself often. Not because I'm doing some big bad sin, but because I don't trust. Actually, if I told you the truth, I don't trust my body. I don't trust my flesh. You go one day, what did Martin Luther say, the famous reformer? I go one day without praying and I can feel it, I can tell. If I go 2 days without prayer, my wife can tell that I'm not praying. And he says, a few hundred years back, he said, if I go 3 days without praying, everybody can tell I'm not praying. Okay, so, all right, here's a verse of scripture, though, for you. That kind of, we're going to pick that up a little bit. First John 3, verse 21, I love the epistles of John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, well, this is 1st John 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Have you ever started to ask God for something and then you remembered, oops. You know, like, there's something I did or said or thought that I have not judged or dealt with. And so, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, it's hard. It's almost impossible to have faith work in us if you know, if things aren't settled and being settled. Like we used to sing a song a lot when I was a teenager. We used to sing out of the song books. We didn't have all this beautiful, thank you, Brother Thad, for these amazing choruses. Sometimes somebody be standing down here and I'll say, look at them words. Look at those words. They're amazing. Woo, look at them words. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord with understanding. I really look at the words. I step in there. I celebrate the words. But we used to sing a song, the old account was settled long ago. Anybody remember that? That dates me, doesn't it? That was just a few moons ago. Tiffany, I was just a few moons ago. Like the Indians would say, a few winters ago. I was a teenager, but we sang it with great gusto. Now, here's my point. It's not, you know, the old account was settled. Well, how about the new accounts? I'm glad the old account was settled. How about the new accounts? You know, when your pastor asked you to do something and you decided you had a better idea about it. You know, those new accounts. When the Holy Ghost convicted you about something and you didn't work with him to change anything and ask for his power, his strength, his victory, and his grace. And so it's still hanging on you, still, you know, festering. The new accounts. Okay, now, for our young people, I have a question. And let's see, Brother Scott, that picture, if you could throw me that picture. Oh, let me see. Who's ever? Do I have any young people that have worked a bit in the snow? Okay, any young people? Lexi, have you worked? Here, Lexi, run up here and help me. This young lady has a touch of God on her. And even her mom and dad would. Oh, okay, Ellie, that's okay. Yes, yes. They're used to doing things in clusters. Like when I take him in there to get some candy, they come together. So they're going to help Pastor here. So, Lexi, have you ever built a snowman?
Yes.
You have. Brother Scott's going to throw us up a picture. Have you too, Elliot? You have. Okay, so we could say that Elliot has a building ministry.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes, okay. You don't mean Legos. They've been in the news lately, huh? Legos are dangerous.
Step on them.
Oh. Oh, my lands. I can tell you've been working in the Legos. Okay, back to the... Where's my picture, Brother Scott? Okay, it's coming. We got all this new gear. Give him grace. He's awesome. Okay, so when you started making a snowman... what did you start with? How did you start it? Like start to build the snowman?
I took a handful of snow and just...
And you just, you compressed it? Okay, so how big was it when you started? Did you make it like a snowball?
Yeah, okay. Like a snowball and then like kept on rolling it.
Okay, and then you just kept rolling. Is there a hill? I don't think there's a hill by your house, is there? I don't remember seeing any hills. It's pretty flat over there. We used to have a hill called Secret Hill, only it wasn't a secret. That's the funny part about it. It never was a secret, right? But it had a big old deal where you could make snowmen, Brother Welch. I mean, you'd start at the top of Secret Hill and start with what Lexi's talking about, like a snowball, just really compressed, right? That's a word you probably maybe don't use a lot, but I mean really just... Hey, you know what? We'll see y'all. We're going to have so much fun here. Okay, so she's saying she started... See, with a snowball, right?
Yeah.
And then you push it along and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, that's what I wanted you to help us with. So you didn't start out being big, did you?
No.
Very small. But as you pushed it and worked with it, it just continued to. And this is what sin does. Mm-hmm. Starts out real small. Yeah. But instead of you pushing it, it pushes you. You start out with a little, thank you. Let's give Lexi and Elliot a hand. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you, Elliot, my buddy. Okay, remind me, they get a special reward after church. Okay, did they do awesome? So it starts out like a lizard, right? Just a lizard. But you play with it and mess around with it or entertain it. And next week it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Took a chunk out of your car, bit a chunk out of your brain. Okay, I'm just telling you, we let things build up like bitterness. And then we wonder why there's no, oh, there's the snowman. Come on now, Brother Scott. Woo, he's getting in the groove now. But see, we built many a snowman. And I wanted some kids to help me with that. But you start out really small. Because I wish you could write this down. Sin is a gathering nucleus. Or wrong. See, or inappropriate anger. Not all anger is sin. You know that, right? Okay. But so bitterness, it's a gathering nucleus. Because it starts out so small, okay, then it seems harmless. Key words, seems harmless, right? Song of Solomon 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have what kind of grapes? And what do you make out of grapes? You don't suppose we could get some new wine? And by the way, I won't go into this, but I've done a study on the Greek and Hebrew words, translated wine. And there was a wine used by the ancients, one of the cherished renditions of wine. It was not intoxicating. As a matter of fact, I had some family members when I was a kid that, through my stepdad, that made such grape juice. It was almost as thick as a milkshake. And it's what is referred to in John 2 when he turned the water into wine. He didn't turn the water into intoxicating wine. He turned it into this, and you study the Greek and Hebrew words, it would be Greek in the New Testament. But there were some renditions of wine that were not intoxicating or alcoholic at all. So, take us the little foxes, see? The little snowball, the little bitterness, the little unforgiveness, the little attitude. Oh. And not judge it. I don't know about you. Does anybody relate to what I'm saying? I have to deal with myself. Because you know why? Because I want to be, by the grace of God, a practicing Christian. Not by label. See? So here we go. I'm ready to give you now a second blocker. But just be bold in the way that you deal with yourself, and God will honor you for that. Let's not let ourselves get by with stuff that we know grieves his heart, grieves our heart, and then we can't figure out why God doesn't show up. I'm going to tell you why he doesn't show up. You've grieved him out of the room. And grieve not. Remember that scripture from Ephesians? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve him, because you can't be blessed by him and be grieving him at the same time. How's that? Okay, now, they've been in a famine. I'm going to give you the chapter. I'm just going to show you two verses of that chapter. There's a lot of reading. I'm going to save you some time, okay? But the chapter in the book is 2 Kings chapter 7. There's been a famine in the land. And there's a prophecy that goes forth that come within 24 hours. Basically, the prophecy in 24 hours, the whole thing was going to turn around. Well, do you remember the story of the four lepers that stumble into the camp? And the Syrians, God made them hear a noise. And it sounded like chariots and horses. And it scared the pudding out of them. And they took off, left all their stuff, right? Sometimes a lot of the things that you're dealing with, it's just a bunch of noise. They brought Manuel Noriega, you know, several years ago to deal with him. He'd created a lot of problems in, I believe it was Panama, wasn't it? And they put him in a cell, and they played loud, like loud, crazy music at him. Like sound. They used noise to break him down. Don't let the enemy use a bunch of empty, crazy noise to break down your faith. So, anyway, man of God says, oh, about this time tomorrow. And you don't understand. We don't understand shekels that much. But anyway, he made a prophecy that about that time tomorrow, you're going to be able to get some groceries on the cheap and so on. So listen to this, 2 Kings 7, verse 2. Then a Lord on whose hand The king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, the prophet, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." Now, let me put a little drama in this, okay? What is going on here? I've got to change my tone of voice to show you how this was probably said. Has anybody ever heard somebody talk with this? Like there's something in their spirit that's not right. I've told people, if you knew how much discernment works in this little girl down here named Sister Meadows, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Seriously. She doesn't talk about it. It just operates in her. She knows more in the Holy Ghost about you in 2 minutes than you know about you in 20 years. I'm just saying. So, I believe he said it like this. Behold. Like, okay, he's going to be a wiseacre. A Weisenheimer. A stupidheimer. Behold. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, he'd have to make windows in heaven and toss out bread. If this thing might be. In other words, evidently when I read this chapter and I read these words, he must have said it in kind of a wiseacre way. You know, just smart face. Ignorant brain, smart face. Understand what I'm saying? And it bothered the heart of God. It was something he said. God gives a promise. This time tomorrow, this whole situation is going to be turned around. Sometimes he tells us that. This time tomorrow, if you believe me, I'm going to turn this family around. I'm going to turn that life around that you've been worried about. I'm going to turn that whole situation around. And we think that's impossible. And we say something out of our frustration. So it happened. These four lepers stumble into like bread and food and garments and weapons, and they come back to tell them. And so all of a sudden there's like a revival of plenty, right? In verse 17, 2 Kings, "And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned," he was a leader, "to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him." And then it goes into some other verses there at the end of right around verse 17 to explain this was the guy who made the wiseacre comment. Oh, if the Lord would make a window in heaven. I doubt that. In other words, it was not only being a smart aleck, it was full of doubt. So this is the guy, and if you read that chapter, you'll see I'm saving you some time reading all the verses. This is the smart aleck that said, well, God would have to make a window in heaven to pull that off. And he grieved God with his reckless words. Manifestation blocker number two, reckless words. Not only did he not partake of the plenty that he brought his people into, but he lost his life in the process as well. And they trampled him. He saw his unbelief, his doubt, so disturbed God that God just stepped back and let him be unprotected at the gate. His wise guy remark cost him his life. So manifestation blocker. Like, okay, reckless words. I'll give you some examples. The Holy Ghost listens to what I say. And you know, your mind, your brain, that doctor that says, I can't help these people if I can't get them to quit saying what they're saying to themselves. If they come in here and they're saying, I'm going to die, I've got to stop them from saying that. Because if I can't stop them from saying that, they will die. But if I can get them to stop talking death and start talking life, they're going to make it. They're going to survive. I've got to change what they're saying. Your body responds to what you say. Your mind, it's recorded. I'm told that everything is virgin parchment. Like, I am told that in the future they're going to invent a machine. They could take it, plug it in, put it on this pulpit, and they could pull out of this wood every word ever preached over this pulpit. The words are in the walls, in the carpet, in the chairs, even in us. Everything is recorded. Why when somebody has a near-death experience do they often say, my whole life flashed in front of me? You just tapped into the biggest library in the world. Because the Bible says, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. He's making a recording of everything. I was in D.C., living in the suburbs of D.C., when they found that 18-minute glitch that got Nixon in trouble and brought down his presidency because stuff was being recorded in his office. What are you saying? I'm saying when you say, you know what? I feel terrible. As a matter of fact, I feel worse now than I did 5 minutes ago. I think I'm coming down with something. And the Holy Ghost steps back and goes, well, he's believing for something bad to happen. I think I'll just let it happen. Because according to your words carry power. Listen to this. Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're living in a culture that thinks that words are nothing. Oh, yeah? Really? We know that if you say, when you baptize somebody, and you say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's one way to do water baptism, but we say, let's do it the way the apostles did it. Let's do it the way they did it in the first century. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we say, and I believe we could prove it, that his blood flows through his name. One word. And the scripture tells us in other places that his name is a saving name. That's why when I hear somebody taking his name in vain, it so bothers me. Listen to the Amplified Classic of verse 36. You ready for this? But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, and non-working word they speak. What is he saying? I believe what he's saying is, get your words working for you. Your words, my words, and my faith are inextricably connected. And I can give you so many scriptures, I'll only give you a couple, but I could quote for you words. Okay, and scriptures starting in Mark 11, 22 through 24. And I could quote those three verses, King James, and you'd recognize them. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatever you consistently say in faith will become visible after a while. If you call yourself, you know, we don't get goofy with this, but sometimes we're just so reckless with our words. And when we are, here's a man that pops off and says something smart alecky, and boom, he's gone. And I believe that God was showing us something about that. Your words carry power. Your words are like 18-wheelers. They carry freight. They carry cargo. They can carry your faith. They can carry the power of God. Be careful with what you say, especially when you think nobody else is listening. There are entities listening. I won't go into that Bible study, but I believe I could prove to you in the scriptures that angels listen to what we say. And demon spirits can listen to what we say. Not to mention that sometimes we're overheard by others. And so your words can carry virtue, can carry dynamite, or they can carry woundedness. I spend a lot of my time encouraging people. I know none of you never noticed that, right? Because I know my words carry virtue. Praise God. Your words carry virtue. They carry power. They carry God's strength. Your words, my words, our words are a vehicle of our faith. Get your words working for you. Hey, we were talking to the Let Winches. That's such a unique name. Weren't they awesome? Kimberly Let Winch taught Sunday morning here a few weeks ago. She said we were out at a restaurant. And she started getting one of these migraines. And by the way, Amber, I was praying for you about that, by the way. But she had, you know, oh, don't we hate migraines around here? Anybody? Everybody? Does anybody love migraines? See me after service. Let me give you some, no, medicine or something. Okay. Now, we don't like migraines, and I don't like getting one. When I had COVID, I had a migraine about every day. It's crazy. Anyway, they were at a restaurant. And Brother Cisco was at the table. Well, if any of you know Brother Cisco's ministry, God's given him dominion over migraines. Let me tell you a little secret. When you get healed of something, if you'll claim it from God, God will often give you dominion in the area where you were healed. I'm just saying. Go ahead and say it. Declare it. Because somewhere God healed him of it. And everybody, I don't mean most folks, I mean for years. And I know he's recovering, and he's my friend and bishop and one of my mentors and coaches and so on. Great man of faith, great man of God down here being rehabbing and so on at Story Point. But God's given him dominion over migraines. And so when Kimberly Letwinch said that she had a migraine, Brother Cisco spoke up and he said something like, okay, we'll just handle that in Jesus' name. And boom, it was gone. It's like, anybody seen a stray migraine? Anybody bump into a migraine? It was so quick. It was like he just handled it quickly. He knew he had dominion over it, and he spoke a few words, and boom, she said it was gone. She'd had it for quite a while. So you want to see somebody come in? Start declaring they're coming in Jesus' name. You want to see your loved one healed? And we could use a healing revival, ladies and gentlemen. We could use a healing revival. My time is gone. Listen to this, Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. This back pain thing. Anybody deal with back pain? I hate back pain. Thank you, Josh, for helping us on that Sunday. It was a crazy Sunday. And I couldn't sit, you know. Well, you have to sit in the car, you know, to come to church, you know. And then drive home, sit in the car again, sit in the service. And of course, the kind of stuff I deal with, any kind of sitting aggravates it. So I was in the live stream, ladies and gentlemen. I was in the live stream worshiping so loudly I started worrying about my neighbors through the wall. You know, when you're in a condo, you don't want to disturb and raise the dead, so to speak. You wouldn't like to do that in another way, but anyway. And so we worked on ET reports, encouragement team reports. I was in church all day long because we tied into a conference that was on the 4th of July, a Holy Ghost conference. And while we're listening to this conference, this guy, and I've got his book. I was just reading his book. He's a Holy Ghost-filled evangelist, right? He started calling people out and saying what was wrong. He pointed to them and told them what was their problem and that God would heal them right now. Well, he called out backs. Do you think I said, did he say backs? Did he? I jumped up and started dancing. You're not supposed to start dancing, jumping around when you have serious back problems. What back problems? He called out backs. The funny thing is, I know this cat, as Jeff Arnold would say. I know this cat, okay? I've never seen him be used of God like that. All of a sudden he's gone, and they just asked him to come up and say a word. He wasn't even on the main docket. And he just all of a sudden starts operating in the Holy Ghost. But when he started calling out sicknesses and he called out backs, I jumped up. And when I did, I felt something electrical. And I started dancing around. I wish you could have been a fly on the ceiling. I started dancing around in my living room. There wasn't a lot of room there. My wife has arranged the furniture to where, you know, if you get happy in the Holy Ghost, you might need prayer. Healing prayer. So I start talking to my back. Use your words. Speaking to my back. He said, I talk to the fig tree, you talk to mountains. I talk to the fig tree. They said, oh, but Lord, behold, the fig tree, you cursed it. It's all dried up. He said, all right, okay, that's fine. Now you start talking to your mountains and tell them to be removed. Woo, we could use some, you know, it's kind of hard to bring in allied or all these moving people, you know, and pack them full of a mountain, right? But faith can move mountains. And so I started talking to my back. I went out and one day, I should not have been doing anything. I thought, okay, faith without works is dead. I got to say this as we close. So I had the word of knowledge operating in that guy. Blew my mind. Okay, so then I jumped into it, stepped into it. When God gives you a word, step into it. I got to get back up here because the cameras are not all tweaked. Okay, got to behave myself. And so the next day, and Frank Sandy's needing some encouragement. It hurt to walk. I don't care. Brother Frank's my buddy. You found that post-it note, didn't you, Tiff? Dude, I must have, as my daughter would say, dude, I mean, I must have walked 2 miles that day. Well, I'm thinking, I've got 3 projects. I'm not laying in bed. Faith without works is dead. I'm speaking to my back, and I'm going to get up and do what I don't think I could have done. And I did all 3 of them, never pulled the ibuprofen out of my little baggie. Don't tell nobody I had a backup plan. Oh, praise God. If I needed a little ibuprofen, never used it. And I'm still going. I'm just saying, use your words. Use your words. In closing, woo, let's lift our hands as Brother Thad comes. Praise my God forever. Lord, put the blessing of the Lord upon us. Put the blessing of God upon us. Help us, Lord, not to let 2 things, not to let things build up in our hearts, not to let things build up, but to deal quickly with stuff. Lord, to deal with our hearts, not to wait till somebody has to come and help us deal with our heart. But Lord, to beat everybody to the punch and to beat you, Lord, Jesus' name. Because you said, judge yourself and you won't be judged. That's what you said, Lord. Judge that ye be not judged. Judge yourself that ye be not judged. And so I don't know how it works with you, but I know that when I deal with myself, I save God a lot of work. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's the first blocker. Unjudged sin or unjudged hardness, unjudged bitterness, unjudged anger, unjudged not to let stuff build up and bloat, just sort of block the manifestation of the Spirit. God is very, very discerning and very brilliant and wonderful in his workings, and he won't give us a free pass, especially in areas that he addresses in his word. Praise God. Aren't you glad he's so merciful? Brother Josh, come and stand for your daddy, if you would. Give me some men that'll stand behind. I've been concerned for Brother Frank, and I know you all have decisions and different things. You're bumping up against a perimeter, I think. Thank you, Tiffany, for carrying that. I know you were there, I think, almost all day that day, maybe 2 or 3 or 4. I don't even know how you do that, but thank you for such a wonderful outpouring of love upon him. Such a good man. Praise God. And we're just praying over anybody else, but we're praying over Brother Frank, and we're praying over Josh and Tiff for the grace of God, the quickening of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're a God of power. You're a God of power. And Lord, let there be virtue. Let there be wisdom, Lord. Let there be virtue. Let there be wisdom, we pray. Lord, let there be virtue. Let there be blessing. Touch Brother Frank, Lord, and lead the Sister Sandy, Lord, in the decisions and things that lay in front of them and before them, Lord, and work in them and work in Brother Frank, Lord. Touch him physically, God. Visit him, Lord. Lift up his heart. Lift up his heart, we pray. Let the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus, let the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus' name, let wisdom discern timing. It's all valuable, Lord. Ooh, put angels around him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Loose angels around him. God, touch Sister Gwen. Touch Sister Gwen, Lord. Touch Sister Gwen, I pray. God, touch Sister Gwen in Jesus' name. Visit her. Visit them. Visit that house, Lord. Pour out grace upon her. Pour out grace upon her, I pray. Pour out power. Pour out glory and virtue on Brother Frank. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I believe you've touched Sister Michelle tonight. Stand up, Sister Michelle, and just pull some of that down on you. Amen. You've had a beautiful season of prayer tonight. Thank you, God. Anywhere else in the house, anybody else need a touch in your body? Hallelujah. Need a touch in your physiology. And God loves you, and you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Would you lift your hand and give him honor and praise? He is the worthy one. He is the worthy one. Praise God. Oh, thank you for it, Lord. The simple faith of God to work in us. Talk to your mountains. Talk to your body. Talk to that sickness and tell it to leave in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom, God, in decisions. God, give us wisdom, God. Thank you, God. Give us insight. Give us discernment, we pray. Oh, let him feel. Let Brother Frank feel the presence of God in his room. Let him feel the presence of God in his room, Lord. Wonderful God. Bless him and strengthen him and touch him. God, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak blessing over my house. Would you speak blessing over your house? I speak blessing over my house. I bind every curse. I bind every curse. I take dominion over curses. I take dominion. Hallelujah. I take dominion over the enemy. We take dominion over the enemy. We take dominion over darkness. I bind every unclean spirit that's harassed people. I take dominion over every unclean spirit that's harassed people. In the name of Jesus, cease and desist. Oh, praise God. Cover us. Wash us in your blood, Lord. Wash us in your blood. I bind the enemy and I bind his power in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Touch Sister Welch, Lord. Touch Sister Welch tonight. Touch her shoulder, God. Minister to her, Lord. Quicken the healing processes. Quicken the healing processes. Woo! Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, touch Sister Welch, we pray, God. Thank you, God, for being with her. That good report we got yesterday. Thank you, God. Bless Brother Welch, Lord. Bless their family. Bless them, Jesus. Wonderful God. Thank you for that. Being sensitive, thank you. Any other special needs as we close? God bless you guys. Thank you again. Listen, thank you again for your prayers for us. I don't ever want to be the focus. Amen. And if I had my way, I wouldn't be mentioned, but I just don't want people to wonder where I am if I'm not here, because I love going to church. I know you can't tell, but I love church. I love the presence of God. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your people. Shall we stand? Asking my beautiful wife to come and pray a special prayer of blessing over us. Amen. Love you guys.
I'd like to pray a unique closing prayer tonight. The Lord just dropped something in my spirit out of nowhere. I wasn't even thinking. But in a moment, he said this to me. And so this is how we're going to close in prayer. We have come through a long, dark season. And, of course, even now we're dealing with so much sickness and sorrow in families and suffering and hospitalizations. But in a moment, the Lord said, we're not far from changing seasons. And the season is harvest. And how many of you, I know nothing about dog whistles, but there's some kind of whistle that you can blow and you don't hear it. But the dogs hear it or the animals hear it. They have a higher frequency in their hearing than we do. And so it can be silent to us, but there's a animal kingdom that hears it. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, there is a harvest around this church, and they are so hungry, and they're going to hear a call from the Spirit. We may not hear it, but he is going to call people around this church building. And when Pastor said, use your words, that's what I want to do tonight. In closing, use our words to say, send the harvest. Call them, God. We're coming into a new season. We're coming into a harvest season, and he's preparing hearts. So let's speak together our words. Call the harvest forth, God. Call the hungry forth, God. In Jesus' name, I'm asking you, God. We're using our words to speak. Speak to the hungry. Speak to the desolate. Speak to the lonely. Speak to the desperate, God. Call them forth, God. We call them in the spirit. We call them in the natural, God. We call from our Holy Ghost. And I thank you for the new season of harvest that's coming. It's coming our way. We're looking for it. We're going to see it with our eyes, and we're going to handle it with our hands. In the name of the Lord, we speak harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful word of prophecy. God bless you. Thank you for being sensitive, First Lady. Amen. Love you guys. Hey, be a witness this week, all right? Let God use you. Thank you for being here. Be safe on the road. Amen. Be sure to greet Chris and Jennifer. So great to have them out tonight. Hallelujah.